And we are back, and we are the only thing between you and lunch. And before lunch, we go as deep as we can into ASP.NET Identity. In the last session, we talked about upgrading to the new identity system.
Right.
But because Pranav was one of the developers who actually worked on it, I wanted to dig in and understand what's new, what's good, look at some code, how it's built, why I care.
Awesome.
Can we do that?
Perfect.
Let's do it.
So...
That's like six slides of nothing there.
They hired me for six slides of nothing.
I know. I never listen to the slides, people. Okay, right. So in one ASP.NET, we started to come up with more choices. The goal was about extensibility points.
Right. And then you want to make sure that what you use, it should be available based on any framework that you choose. You MVC, web API, web pages, SignalR. Like, there's just one way to do identity or, like, user management for your ASP.NET application, mm-hmm. and which is more modern as well. Like, we had the SQL membership system, we had universal providers. We were trying to solve different problems, and these systems sort of had gotten very old as well. Like, they're 10-year-old systems as well. Back in the day, like, creating an account on the site was probably the best way of going and logging in, but now you have Facebook login, you have Twitter login, like, and developers want to provide a richer experience when somebody logs into their site.
Right.
And so we sort of taken a stab at, like, what are the developer workflows or scenarios that we want to enable. And then we've come up with ASP.NET Identity as sort of the way going forward, which is going to set the stage for the next few years to come. Like, mm-hmm. it has better control for persistence. It doesn't have any sort of binary serialization that happens. It lives as an EF model in your application. Mm-hmm. It's a claims-based, it's based on OWEN, so you get the portability benefits.
And OWEN, Open Web
Interface.net.
That's an open-source system. It's not a Microsoft.
It's not a Microsoft.
But
it's
what
a specification,
it is,
actually.
Exactly. It's a specification that we are agreeing to kind of separate ourselves
yes.
from the underlying implementation of various things.
Right. And then you should be able to unit test your accounts controller as well. Like, you know, it should be possible. You can mock everything up, so the system is set up in a way. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you can also use Windows Azure Active Directory as a way to log in and authenticate your users. And you can store your profile information with ASP.NET Identity itself. Mm-hmm. So that sort of is a new avenue that we're trying
to... I actually had Vittorio. You met Vittorio?
Yes, the guy with the
long, long hair.
Long, long hair.
Yeah. Vittorio works on Windows Azure Active Directory, and I had him on Azure Friday, and those episodes will be coming up in the next week or two.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to talk about ASP.NET Identity in the context of Active Directory, so people can check those out soon Perfect. At friday.azure.com.
Awesome. So we shipped a V1 of our stack in with Visual Studio 2013 RTM, so that was last October of 2013. And this is sort of the roadmap that we're going to ship of a V2. And so there are a bunch of new features that are going to come along. The key thing that I want to point out is the support for two-factor auth. So when I log in, I now have an option of saying that, okay, I want to have a second step in my login process, so it's more secure. Like, a lot of sites are doing it. So how do you implement a two-factor system in your application itself? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll look at that demo.
Time-based tokens.
Time-based tokens. Yeah. I can use... my phone as a way to get the tokens, or emails, or use like QR codes as a way to get tokens as well. So that's sort of coming in the next preview as well.
All right, cool.
Let's just switch to demos. And so I'm going to start by showing you what the basics of ASP.NET Identity are. How do I extend the persistence model? How do I do roles? And then how do I do two-factor auth? And we'll sort of play around with all of the space.
So this app right here, this is just a starter app. Have we done anything yet? Is this file new project?
This is file new project. I have downloaded one NuGet package, and I'll mention that when we come to it.
Okay.
But this is pretty much file new project as of VS 2013. And this is what I get out of the box. So let me run the site first.
Did I mention that I find the skinning on your browser is bizarre?
It's good or good bizarre or bad bizarre?
It's weird. It's like, I don't know, brushed aluminum.
It's good.
All right, so this is our new ASP.NET application.
This is the one ASP.NET.
We see again
Bootstrap.
The Bootstrap. Everything's getting prettier as we get farther into the future.
And then I can come to the site. again, I can register a new user into this application. So I can say like test, can specify a password. And when
it's really disturbing that I know your password is 123456 because I can feel it in the tempo of your keystrokes.
So that means you use the same password.
Nonsense. My password is 234567. I'm not an idiot, Pranav. What's wrong with you?
Just by a factor of one.
Yes, it makes all the difference.
But, you know, I sort of created an account on this site.
Okay.
And underneath the covers, we sort of used ASP.NET Identity, which sort of created a database for me where the users get stored.
Okay.
So let's look at the schema of this particular application. So I have a default connection string that shows up in my Server Explorer, because Visual Studio is smart enough to figure out what my connection string is in webconfig.
I see. So it saw that you accessed the database. It knows right. about your webconfig, so we don't have to go digging for that.
Exactly. I can expand my tables, and this is what the schema looks like for a membership system. I have users. Users can have a bunch of roles. They can have, you know, like sort of admin roles, or do I belong to an admin or not? Excuse me. And they can have logins. So remember I said like the old membership system was all about username passwords, but now I can have username password or Facebook or Google or Twitter.
So then are you saying that username password is a kind of user login?
Yes.
So does that mean username password is really no different than a Twitter login or a Facebook
yes.
or a Microsoft ID?
You can think about logins as just being another provider. Like you have a password-based provider, which is username password, and you have Facebook, Twitter, then you have Active Directory, and then a bunch more will start coming along.
Okay, cool. And I can write my own.
And then you can write your own.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
And then I have this table called user claims. So since we have a claims-based system, you can persist information as claims and then store it in the database itself. So for example, when you add a role gets stored as a claim on the user. Or when you add some Facebook data, I'll show you how you can store that as a claim as well.
I see. The user claims to be the administrator and then demands the ability to do something.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then roles is the list of roles that exist in the system. Like I can have admin roles, I can have super admin roles, and the users can belong to some roles. So that's kind of what the schema looks like.
All right.
So where it sort of gets pretty interesting is in my application, I have this application user, which is what I'm creating in my controller.
Now, where did that application user come from?
So it's a file that sits in my models folder called identitymodels.cs.
Okay.
That was generated by the template. So it uses an application user and an application DB context.
So if you hover over identity user.
Identity user is coming from the identity framework.
Okay.
And which defines what the
okay, so
user
that's,
object
that's part
is.
Of ASP.NET.
Yes.
But interestingly, application user, that's mine.
That's yours.
That's kind of representative of this idea that I have more control already.
Exactly.
Because that's my guy.
Yes.
Or gal. That's my user right there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I can come over here, and I can add more information for the user. So let's say you wanted to add a property called color.
Would I want to keep track of the color of my users, Pranav?
Yes.
Orange, maybe?
My color is gray as per my theme.
their favorite color.
Yeah, favorite color.
I thought we were keeping track of color of people. I just thought that was weird.
Okay, moving on.
Hey, you're the one with the orange shirt on, dude.
It's bright. And then I can persist this information along with my users.
But their username and the basic user stuff, where are those things? They hang off of the identity user that we derive from.
Exactly.
Can I peek definition on that guy? Oh, look at you with the hotkeys. Love it. Okay, so that means that by default, I've got my username.
You've got your username.
But I don't have a lot of additional information.
Exactly.
Like first name and last name.
You don't have it.
I don't have that.
So you can absolutely drop down and like you can add more properties over here. What's my first name?
I see.
You know?
Okay.
And then since I've already created the database, I need to go update the database saying my user has these two new fields.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of the whole system is that since identity has a core implementation and it has a package called identity.entityFramework, which is an entity framework implementation. which means that underlying the covers, it's still using EF code first. It's still using the EF notions of what's a DB context.
Right.
And that means I can use EF migrations to sort of update my database as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to open up Tools Package Manager console, which is the PowerShell console which NuGet has built in. And I can go and run my commands inside the console itself.
Right.
So I can say enable migrations.
So this is interesting. So you're going to be able to use the same entity framework migration stuff that we use on regular databases, our own databases.
Yes.
On the identity database.
Yes.
Which I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, gets to the original point and kind of the point that I've been making all day and will very likely make again, which is that less black boxes.
Less black boxes,
like
yes.
You can literally just go into the database and you can see it's all right there because it's your database.
Because it's your database, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we're enabling migrations on the identity database.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's checking if an existing database is already there.
Now you might have multiple databases in multiple entity framework contexts, yes. So you might have to tell it.
Which one?
Which context.
But in my application, I'm using just one. And our recommendation is, you know, if you're building applications,
so let's go back.
Let's go back and let's come back to that thought.
Big yellow scary things happen. I want to know what's going on. Okay, so it saw the database and it said it scaffolded a migration, and then a migrations folder just appeared.
And then there's an initial create script. So this is what my database looks like, as we just saw in the Server Explorer. These are the tables I have. I'm gonna go and update my database to add these two fields.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say add migration, profile.
I would think probably more creatively named.
Like?
Just added color and name. Because now I don't know what profile is ever gonna be. Good code comments. I'm just teasing. So look, now that's got a new date, right? And then it says profile. And it says we've added first name and color.
Right.
I suppose I could have written this, but it's easier to.
It's easier
to,
at least scaffolding. And that's where it becomes interesting. It's since the code lives in your project, you can modify this.
Right.
Whatever you want to.
Nice.
And I can go back to the package manager console, and I can say update database. And this is going to update my SQL database and add the two new columns.
So this is going and running the script. Now, if I remember correctly, you can type, there it is, say dash verbose, but you can also, I think, say dash script, and it'll actually show you the script and allow you to run it later.
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, so it says that it did it then. Let's see if it's really telling us the truth.
The true source.
So we think it's added it to users?
Yes. And so remember, like, I already had an application user class where I'm adding more profile data. So by default, all profile information goes as part of my users table. So I have first name and I have color.
See, that's so much cleaner than the whole binary
serialization.
And this is the thing, though. I mean, I was the king of XML serialization back in the day. You know what I mean? I knew everything there was. And I thought it was a great idea. But it just wasn't a great idea.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. I just like to take huge amounts of information and then XML serialize it into a column.
Right.
And it's along for the ride, though, but it can't be queried. It can't be, you know, easily
exactly.
dealt with. So this is great. So first name and color was just added as columns on the
end. As columns. And I can go back and I can add data to it in my registration form and I can change my application to use it.
So can you go in there and just like put in like Scott or whatever? Am I able to have those available to me later whenever I can just have a user? When can I get the users? When am I able to access the user profile?
Let's try that. So I have my home controller. So let's try to access the user data. So let me. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to sort of instantiate the identity system. So the identity system has this concept of a user manager.
Are you going to type what's uncommented right there?
No, actually, part of it.
Okay, so the user manager's part of identity.
Right. And a user manager allows you to operate on a user, like find the user, create a user.
Type of, okay. And I could name it whatever type I wanted.
Yes.
But
so this is your application user, which we defined in the models folder.
Right.
And then the
No, the user store. Now that this implies, I think I'm getting into, we're getting into testing here, because user store is like, well, yes, where are these users you speak yes. of?
And so that's the abstraction that we have, is a user manager just talks to user store. Mm-hmm. And by default, we ship a user store, which is based on entity framework.
That's apparently in a namespace that you're not familiar with.
Let me include, oh, that's because.
What is LeaksNet?
We will get to it.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't think hitting control period another time is going to solve it for you.
But you always have that tendency to keep
Well, that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing it over and over and expecting the different result. Dot entity framework. Makes you wonder, though. Like, you know everything else about my code. Why didn't you know that?
Like, why?
And the fact that it's still squiggly, we're nervous. Huh. Yeah, we'll figure it out in a minute. Of type.
Ah. Same application user.
See, I have a reason to be here, actually. I feel like I've provided the value for the day now, so I may as well just go, good night, everybody.
And which takes in your application DB context.
Now, up here, you passed in like a what looks like a some kind of a
connection
string.
Right.
So you have different things you can pass in.
Yes. So what I've done, basically, I have a user manager which is going to talk to an EF user store,
okay,
so I can query the user and get the user information out. So what's going to happen here is...
And I assume I could do that not in the method, but I could do it up in the constructor or
exactly.
bury it or maybe use IOC.
So as a good practice, I'll show you what the accounts controller does. It does it in the constructor, so you can use IOC and then use DI.
Yeah, so in this case, it's a poor man's dependency injection.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so I have the user manager. Now I need to get the current logged in user,
mm-hmm,
right? So when a user logs in, we create a user ID for the user. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing manager.findById, and I'm calling in this API which exists in ASP.NET Identity to get me the user ID of
okay.
the user.
Now hover, do me a favor, and just hover over findById here. And you see it's an extension. But what's significant about it, from my perspective, is you see it's returning user manager of type
application
user.
Right.
And that's probably going to then give you the IntelliSense.
Right.
That, so if you went user dot.
Like, you know.
There's color.
Color.
And what was the other one, first name?
Let's find out. First name.
Right. So they're really there. They're all part of...
The real object. Exactly.
So then could I put things like pictures of the user and date times? I could use anything.
Any strongly type. Like, it's basically your own POCO class that you have living in your application, and then it returns you the whole class itself as well.
That's awesome.
So that's how you would get the use information out, then you can show it in the view itself as well.
Cool.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's do it with the other demo.
All right.
So a key sort of assumption that we make, and I think this is what I learned once we released it, you have to keep in mind that it is an entity code first based system. So if you have very common asks like how do I change the connection string or how do I change my table name, you have to ask yourself like how would I have done that in entity framework code first.
I see.
So, you know, like, keep in mind that it's EF code first. There's always a DB context. You can always pass in a connection string name, and then you can drop down to your web config, and then you can change the name of the connection string.
I see. So there's no other config?
There's no other config.
Yeah.
It's all EF.
I see.
So that's sort of what I assumed. I think a lot of people might know, but that's the feedback that I got. Like, you know, I should make it very
sure.
clear.
And not everyone uses EF.
And not everyone uses EF as well.
Yeah.
And another good recommendation is, like, let's say you're building a to-do app, so you have a list of to-dos and you have a list of users. How do you store this information? Because there are two types.
Mm-hmm.
Our recommendation is just store everything in the same DB context, in the same database itself. Because the benefit of the new system is, like, your user profile is sitting with your users, so your to-dos should sit in the same database itself. Like, you don't have to create two different databases, for to-dos.
Certainly in that case, it depends on a lot of things.
Right.
How big the system's going to be, if this is a small intranet,
yes,
if you're writing the next Facebook. It's going to be a little bit different. So I think exactly. The point is partition and shard and think about your database as you think is appropriate.
Yes. And in fact, since you mentioned Facebook, like the extensibility that we've provided in the system is like...
That was really good.
What?
The segue.
Yeah, it was a good segue.
I did. It was very nice. Nicely done, sir.
So you can store the same information in Azure Table Storage as well. And so what you have to do is basically we've provided a system where the identity user inherits from iUser,
okay.
Which is the core of our stack.
Right.
It has basically user ID and name. So you implement all of these assets, and then you can have your persistent store, which can talk to an Azure Table Storage or NoSQL or any of these other providers that might exist.
So I am in no way tied to SQL Server.
You are no way tied to SQL Server.
So I could make the new ASP.NET identity system pull from MongoDB.
Yes. So I have this...
Just make sure everyone got that.
Right. And a lot of people have written a bunch of providers for different persistence. So there's one gentleman who has written a provider for Azure Table Storage. And,
so you're saying he's literally moved it all into table storage from SQL?
Basically, yeah.
That's cool.
So I'm just going to uninstall his package, and I'm going to reinstall that package.
Why reinstall it?
Because this package brings in a file which install package.
I see. You had it previously installed.
I had it previously installed. And it installs a file in my project, which basically allows me to specify my own models. So this package is going to install a binary. So bringing all the dependencies for Windows Azure Storage.
Right.
And it dropped in this file called application user. You know, it derives from identity user itself.
Right, right. This is the same thing we had before.
Right.
Except,
but
it's his implementation of identity user.
Exactly. So I can go back to my accounts controller, and now I can change the wire up. Like,
that's why I was wondering what, I've never seen that before.
Right.
So scroll to the right.
It has my username and password for my Azure Table Storage.
Okay, so this is a Azure Table Storage connection string.
Yes.
I think you've got some extra parentheses there. I got a little Lisp action going on there. You have enough parentheses? Would you like some more?
Oh, I think yeah. Let's build it.
No chance it's going to work. Did it work? Maybe put it back.
Let's play the matching game. So this guy matches here. This guy.
Does it compile now? Don't show your password.
That's fine.
Someone now is reconstructing that and storing VHDs in your Azure Table Storage account. Brackets? Hey, it's your code, brother. We'll see.
I know why. I need to change the...
It's because you can't pass in an Azure Table Storage thing to that.
Right.
Yep.
And then am I...
What is it telling you? It's an ambiguous reference. So it still thinks you have the other usings in there. So you've got that one, but you still have the other one below it. Right there? Here. You see that? There you go.
And I'll have to change my home controller as well since I added code.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kind of do the same thing.
And of course, in a more tidy way, we would have used
right.
dependency injection and it wouldn't have gone so bad.
Absolutely.
Now, the one that you, his doesn't have color or first name yet.
We can add
that's fine.
Color.
We've only got so much time.
Yeah.
Okay. It would have been nice to have done that in one place.
Yes.
And there's no color, so you can comment that out.
Oh, I thought.
So because we're moving, in this case, from local SQL Server to Azure Table Storage,
right?
We don't yet have the first name and the color and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Going.
So I'm going to run this app again.
Having abandoned our user and its color. This is not a migration demo, but rather the idea that you can have whatever you want underneath this.
Right.
MySQL, anything really that you could do. You putting color back in?
Color is good.
Okay.
And then my home controller.
All right.
Yeah, perfect.
Right. So this has your crash.
That's fine.
Try to keep it running. I'll change in the code underneath. All right.
Log in, register.
How do I know that you're really going to Azure and not cheating and going to a text file somewhere?
What name do you want?
Super Fancy Pants 2. It's the only way to know. I can't trust you any other way, Pranav.
Okay.
Okay. Is that in Azure? Because it's very unlikely that that's already in Azure.
Storage.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we all know your email. Okay. So this is in an Azure table.
This is in an Azure table. And I'll have a table called users. I'll say view table.
Yeah. Get out of town.
Super fancy pants. And if I edit
it,
and I add color, what color do you want?
Azure.
I want to pick blue.
Should we have just called it blue? Is that what you're saying? The entire cloud system that we just designed should have been called blue? All right.
That's so funny, man.
Okay. All right. Do you think it'll work?
That's it. So user.color.
Yeah.
And then I think that's pretty much it. Let's see if it worked or not.
Let's see. Good job, Mr. LeaksNet. When is it going to output their color?
Their output color is...
No, on what page?
How?
You're clicking around a lot. I'm losing control.
User.
No idea what's happening. You put it in the view bag on index.
On index.
Okay. And does it appear on the page?
Am I outputting it?
Yep. It's you're putting it above color. Getting started.
Oh, did I match the casing?
Oh. Lowercase c?
Lowercase c.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see it.
Oh, I've got the partition keys wrong.
What's F, by the way? Just out of curiosity. What's that F? Is that okay? That important?
That basically is the partition key for your table storage.
Okay.
This is a caveat with this implementation, basically. So when you store your data in an Azure Table Storage, you have the row key and then you have the partition key because you can do different kinds of sharding. You can shard on the partition key or the row keys.
Okay.
F is basically signifying what is my partition key. And so if you're building a system for table storage, you need to optimize on your keys so you can have faster queries and stuff.
Okay.
In my Mr. Leak's dummy implementation, I'm just specifying the key to be F.
I see. So you might do your key based on their email address.
Yes.
Or their
user
domain.
ID.
Or their user name, or the first couple of letters of their username.
Exactly.
And you instead creatively chose
F.
F.
That's exactly.
Just want to make sure. Like, we could say differently. We could say, well, it's just magic. You have to have an F there.
Yeah, no. Okay. Let me show you.
Did we see it output? Did it actually work?
Let's see, blue. Let's see, home controller, find by ID.
Yep, let's run it. We could look at the code, or we could actually see if it works. I think that's pretty slick, though.
Which part?
Just that
in storage?
Well, I just assumed with the entity framework, this and that, that this whole thing was going to be limited to SQL.
I see.
So the fact that you came out of nowhere and you threw a curveball and you're like, and I'm in table storage, you know, you could have a text file and have the whole thing be magical text file.
Right. In fact, people have written providers for MongoDB, RavenDB, NoSQL. So there are a lot of these implementations which are being installed as NuGet packages. So let's see if our user
has the
color blue.
Yeah, it does. Hover over color.
Oh, I'm using, I think the casing might be a bit off.
No, you're fine. It popped up blue.
Oh, it popped up blue?
It did say blue.
Okay.
But I believe you.
Perfect.
Cool.
So, look.
Oh, and it actually made it blue. I didn't know that you did that. Nice. little golf clap there.
Thanks. So let me show you, you know, we did sort of local logins, but let me show you how you can do sort of social logins. So I have the same template, but what I've done in my startup auth.cs is that's where I would configure my providers.
Yeah, so scroll up because you went right to the scary code. Go ahead and, scroll up. I want to put this back to 100%. And go to, may I?
Yes.
Sorry. I just want to see this. See, when I get overwhelmed, my friend, here, may I just let go? I'm just going to go like this. This is the great thing about having a touchscreen. When I get overwhelmed, I just add a lot of white space because it's overwhelming. Okay, so you're in startup. We've been seeing this startup over and over and over again, this class startup. Configure auth. App builder, it's where the Lego
blocks come in.
They snap together, okay? We saw how we plugged in SignalR2 in there.
Right.
We saw how hubs are getting plugged in there now.
Yes.
We're seeing here your user manager, factory, data protection, all those kind of things. Here we're seeing cookie authentication, things like that. All the identity
This would
system,
be your forms auth module.
It's all available to you. Yeah, it would have ordinarily been in a forms auth module.
Yes.
It's this that I wanted you to talk about before you get to the
That's
good
stuff. That's a good
point. Because you could enable your application for Twitter by going to, I think it's dev.twitter.com.
Dev.twitter.com.
Making a new app.
Yes.
My app. They'll give you a consumer key and a secret.
Right.
You literally comment those lines out right there.
Right.
And then just those lines right there. You don't have to. And then you put in the secrets, and then you hit F5, and it logs in with Twitter.
Right.
Okay. And you can do the same with Microsoft and Google and Facebook.
Right.
Okay. So that said, there's scary code below.
Yes.
What's going on? Now, see, that's where it's like,
Yeah, because, you know, if you were just to uncomment and log in, then you can then log in.
Right.
Now, this
doesn't mean to imply that in some way the Facebook stuff is harder.
No, it's never.
It's as easy as the Twitter one.
It's
you register an app.
As easy. Okay. All three are the same.
But you have an advanced implementation.
But I have an advanced implementation.
Yeah,
what I want to do is like, hey, Scott, you logged into my site. I want to pull in all your friends and their pictures.
Because that would not be evil at all.
Exactly. Why not? Like,
if Facebook lets us do it.
So what I've done basically is like, you know, when I log in, I'm going to ask you, Scott, I'm going to access your email, your friends' information, your friends' pictures.
Yeah,
are you comfortable with that?
And it is the scope right there that is going to have it say, Pranav is requesting access to.
Yes.
And then I say no.
Yes.
Well, excellent.
I should say yes.
Of course. This is the app is requesting access to the scope of its access will be these things.
Exactly.
Okay, nice.
And then what I'm doing is, you know, you're going to log in into the application and I'm going to get called back saying that Scott said, yes, it's cool. I'm going to give this app access to it.
Right.
And in this code here, the app is going to take in the Facebook access token,
right,
which is going to use later on. So if you notice, it's storing the Facebook access token as a claim. So remember we said it's a claims-based system, that this is what it means. If I need to store any sort of information about a particular user, I store it as a claim. And it gets hydrated on the principal. So when I do the user.principal and I see all the claims, then I can see the Facebook access token.
Cool.
Okay. So that's the write-up that you have to do if you need to get more data out of a particular user.
So this is doing more than just authentication.
Yes.
This is doing, in this case, authorization and data collection from the resulting social system.
Exactly. So shall we run the app first and then look at the code?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to...
This will be a good finale.
Increment the database...
You're doing that, and he's changing the database connection string there in a way to basically start with a fresh database because it's going to auto-create the database.
Exactly.
For what you're doing.
Yeah. And I'm also going to start an incognito window. And the reason I do this because in my machine, I always have logged in via Facebook. So my Facebook cookie is always stored. And so it sort of logs me across.
So this is making it so you can log in to Facebook fresh.
Fresh.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So I'm going to hit the login button. And then you're going to see that I have this.
Ah, okay. And then each one of those that you uncomment becomes a button
right
there.
Twitter, Google, Microsoft becomes just a button. And you don't have to write any application code for these buttons to light up. Like the template takes care of all the wire up. So I'm going to click Facebook. I'm going to log in myself. And so this is authenticating with Facebook. Like, it's verifying whether the username and password that I put in was correct.
Cool. Ah. And you have authenticated with Facebook.
Yes.
And, so did it not ask you permission for those things because you've already told it?
Because I've already told it, like, it's fine. I trust this app, basically.
Okay.
And this is asking me what's the local email that I should set for this site, you know, if I don't want to publicly display my Facebook email. In my case, I'm going to say it's cool. And I get this Facebook info link.
And you made this yourself.
And I made this myself.
Okay.
So I'm calling a Facebook C# SDK libraries, and I'm grabbing that access token, and I'm pulling in all the information of my friends and their pictures.
This is really coming? This actually?
This is actually my friends, yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
There was a marriage. She got married last month. And
I'm sure they don't mind at all being on a live webcast right now.
Well, not too late for that now, basically, I think.
Yeah, we'll see how many of them are your friends after this. So how are you getting that data off of Facebook then?
So let me quickly show you what that data looks like. So remember, I was passing in the Facebook access token from the claims that I got. And what I'm doing is I'm getting the Facebook access token from my claims. So I get this Facebook access token. Facebook client is a NuGet package that I downloaded. It's a Facebook C# SDK. So I make a call to a graph endpoint called me/friends. I pass in the access token. And this library is going to return me a dynamic object, which is a list of my friends and their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm strongly casting it in this view model, which has the name and the picture. And I'm just doing a for each and displaying it in the view.
Wow.
So that's basically the code to get all my friends and then their pictures as well.
That's pretty cool. And I understand correctly, in the authentication system, you could then go in and add a local login.
Right.
So if you go up there, you could say registered logins. You could have multiple ones. But
yes.
Here it actually says you don't have a local username. This is really
correct.
Important. You this do not have a local username.
Because I have not created a local account. And which is the beauty of the world that we live in today is because I don't have to.
And so you are a user.
And
there's no password hash.
There's no password. There's nothing going on. Exactly.
And I also know for a fact that if you notice how it won't let you remove Facebook.
Yes.
And you could add like Google and Microsoft and Twitter.
Right.
But it will only get you. You can remove them and add them.
Right.
But you can't remove the last one.
You need to have at least one.
Yeah.
Right, because that makes sense. You need to have an account in the system, so you need to have at least one provider in the system that exists.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much for showing us the identity system. We're going to take a lunch break now. And we'll come back in just a little bit, probably around 1 o'clock. Pacific Standard Time, because we're in Seattle, Washington.
And it's not raining.
And it's not raining.